Hey, I'm Natalie Abbott.
And I'm Vera Schmitz. We are sisters who host the Dwell Differently podcast.
We help you memorize and meditate on one Bible verse every month. And all month long on our podcast, we talk about what that verse means, why it matters, and how we can apply that verse to our daily lives. Hey, friends, it's Natalie. I know you were expecting Vera, but this month's wrap-up episode is going to be a little different. Ordinarily, it's Vera or someone else from our team just giving a quick wrap-up, but we have some special guests that we just couldn't not talk to. So Sadie Robertson Huff and her husband Christian Huff are here to wrap up our verse with us, and it is such a great wrap-up. Our verse this month is from Psalm 48:14. It says, "This God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even to the end." In this episode, Sadie and Christian talk with me about who this God is, the God who is our God forever and ever, the God of the Bible, and how he is different from any other God, and why that difference makes all the difference in our lives. We also talk about how our God is faithful, and that his faithfulness and his loving care for us is the foundation of our ability to be faithful to him. And then finally, we talk about what happens when we get off track. Sadie and Christian are just so honest and real about how this is a real struggle for all of us, that there are no professional Christians out there and that we all fail at this, but that our God is faithful to pick us back up and dust us off and to help us follow him. So if you're looking for a way to get back on track with Jesus, this is a great episode for you. I can't wait for you to take a listen. Hey, welcome back to the Dwell Differently podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Abbott, and we are wrapping up this month of October and our verse with two really special guests. We have Sadie and Christian Robertson Huff with us today, and we are talking about our verse one last time. Our verse this month is from Psalm 48:14. It says this, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end." It's a verse about how God is faithful. He is faithful even when we are faithless. He is our guide even to the end. And I'm just really excited to have you guys here with us, Sadie and Christian. Thanks for coming to join us and talk about our verse and talk a little bit about your new book with us. We'd love to hear just a little bit about what you just came out with.
Yeah, so we're excited to be on. This is my second time on the podcast, Christian.
This is my first time.
Yeah,
welcome. Thank you for having us.
We love Dwell and everything that y'all do and how y'all just get the word out there and help people study it and meditate on it, memorize it. And I love this verse. It's actually like perfect for what we're talking about because our new devotional book just came out, How to Put Love First, meaning how to put God first, because we established right at the beginning of the book, God is love. This is not a lovey-dovey relationship book. This isn't how to get a ring on your finger, how to get chocolate on Valentine's Day, how to
not
get a
that
rose.
Those things are bad necessarily.
No, beautiful, beautiful things. But we talk about how you could have those things and actually not know love, right? Because God is love. And so I love that that verse just exalting who God is, because that's really what we're doing in this book. Like, man, if you put God first, if he is your everything, you will understand love and you will understand how to love yourself. You'll understand how to love others, and it'll bless every aspect of your relationships with people.
Got my copy right here. I just got a couple days ago and I was reading through it. It's a 90-day devotional, but I love that the foundation of those first 30 days being about who God is. And I just think that that is such a great way to start any book, really. It says something, you know, about putting God first. And so tell me a little bit about your reason for that.
Yeah, it's actually cool that you mentioned that, because that was not the first 30 days. That was actually the last 30 days when we started writing the book. And then one day I was literally like, I got to change that. And I like called my editor and I was like, hey, we need to change the whole structure of this book. Like, either we tell people to read it backwards or we move the first 30 days to the front with God. I was like, I will promote this and literally tell people to read it backwards unless we change this to be the front of the book. Because if you don't get that first, then none of the other things will make sense. Like, if your relationship with God is not first, then you will strive to obtain love. You'll strive, like Christian was talking about earlier in a podcast we were doing, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, love is patient, love is kind, is not envy. If you don't have God first, then you're going to be striving to be patient, striving to, you know, be humble, striving to be these things. It's hard to be those things. Those things aren't natural to us. But if love is first, if God is first, the overflow of who he is in our life will flow out to the people around us. And so I was like, look, we can talk about love with people, we can love with community, but if like we don't put the love of God first, then the first two are going to be really hard to do unless God is first.
Yeah, it almost feels more like a duty. You know, like this, the ways that we behave are flowing out of the love that we find in Christ.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Christian, I would love for you to tell us, so our verse says, this God is our God. What is so different about who our God is? He is the God of the Bible. Why is it so significant, and why is he worth, you know, basing our whole lives on?
I love that question, and it's really such a big question, right? Because there are so many little g gods out there. Throughout the Bible, it talks about all these other false idols and all these other gods that people would turn to, and there's no salvation found in there. There's no other gods that are personal, that we can have an intimate relationship with. There's no other God that came down from heaven. So much of just gods throughout culture, throughout the world, it's you trying to strive to get to God, but God came down to us. And I was just thinking about this verse earlier, just in Romans, where it talks about, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And there's such a self-sacrificial love that God has for us. He is our creator. No other gods that people worship. It's not who created everything. It's just a little false thing of what people can find comfort in. And for me, what I've seen Jesus is, it's really what he produces in your life. There are so many things in our culture that would look at the Bible or whatever and think that God is restrictive or that God is whatever, but God is really, if he's love, like what we're talking about in the book, then, you know, putting your hope and putting your trust in him will produce these things that we can see, right? Like these fruits of the Spirit we talk about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There are these attributes that we develop the more that we know God, the more that we know Jesus, who is God in the flesh. And there's no other religion like that. There's no other gods like that. He is the only true God. And you see that demonstrated throughout the Bible, and especially in the Gospels, when Jesus puts on flesh, comes to earth, dies a death on a cross, and is buried for 3 days, and rises again. And he gives us this mission of go and make disciples. And he tells us, you know, to obey everything that I've commanded you to. And I think it's so cool that if you truly know people that have a relationship with Jesus, you can see there's a difference in their life. There is a selflessness. There is a sense of self-control. There is a wanting to put to death the natural ways that are within all of us, of just selfish ambition and dissensions and all these things that Galatians 5 previously talks about, the acts of the sinful nature that we're all prone to have and we're all prone to fall into. For me, God is just so personal, and it's such a relationship, and I don't believe there's any other religions that's just the basis of it. It's a relationship. It's being in communion with the one that you believe created you, and that affects the way that you live your life. Your whole life should look different, and for me, it's looked different, and for Sadie, it has. And most people we meet and encounter, there's some form or there's something somewhere along their life that they met Jesus or really got to know God, and that really changed the way that they live their life.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right that, you know, if God is who he says he is, you know, the God of the Bible who has revealed himself in scripture, there is something beautiful and transformative that happens in our lives. If God is love, you know, like you're saying, then that love is transformative for us because we experience it. Then we can live in that same way that Jesus has treated us. And I love how in your book, actually, there's so many actionable things that you bring up. Like every day kind of has its own little reflection at the end of like, hey, what about this or what about that? That really, if we believe in this God who is God, that it will affect every part of who we are as people, right? I think you did a really good job, Christian, of just kind of giving that big picture of like, this is who the God of the Bible is. This is why he's so different. Sadie, would you just tell us, like, in a couple sentences? I know this is going to be really hard to do, but if somebody's listening to this and they don't know who this Bible God is, what would you say is like the overarching story of the Bible? Like you say, Christian, that he came in the flesh. Like, why does that matter? What did that achieve for us as people who believe in him?
Mm-hmm. Well, that is hard to do in a couple of sentences, but I'll try to do it. You know, I'm actually teaching Honey some Bible verses right now. We've been working on "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So I try to teach her about just who God is. So I'll do it like I do it for Honey, but starting with that verse. But really, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that God created all things. God is the God of everything, like Christian said. I'm not talking about a God, I'm talking about the God. He created the heavens and the earth. When he spoke, life came into existence. Well, he created man in his image. Man failed. We epically failed at the very beginning of the book. You don't get far before you see that we sinned. We fell short of the glory of God. At one point, we were in community with God in the garden. We fell short of that. And so God said, look, out of my love and goodness, I am removing you from the garden because now you know good and evil. You're not capable of holiness in and of yourself. I'm not going to let you live in that forever. I got to remove you from this. And the whole Old Testament is basically us trying to get back to God. We're trying to get back in that community with God. Mm. However, to be in communion with God, who is so holy, would mean that you would have to be holy. And so in the whole Old Testament, as these people trying to be holy enough to be in relationship with a holy God, well, guess what? We're incapable of that. We cannot be holy in and of ourselves because guess what they keep doing? Sinning, keep messing up, keep doing something stupid. So they kept messing up. And God said, look, I'm gonna do this for them. You know, I'm not going to let them keep struggling to get to me. I'm going to come to them. And so God, in the form of flesh, came to us through Jesus Christ, and he lived a perfect life, sinless. He did what the first Adam could not do. He did not sin, but he went through everything that we have to endure as humans, but he did it perfectly. Then he died a death on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they're trying to bring sacrifices to be holy enough, but they couldn't do it. Jesus was holy enough to sacrifice himself to cover us in his blood so that we could be washed clean, so that when we're in relationship with God, it says, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. That's because we can't get there without him. So under the blood of Jesus, we get to be in relationship with the Father. Now here's the amazing thing. When Jesus went back to heaven and ascended, yes, we're waiting for him to return. But in the meantime, we're not left alone. God said, Jesus says, it's actually better that I go because I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. That's that third part of the Trinity. And he's going to be with you. He's actually not only going to be with you, he's going to be in you. And he's going to be guiding you and leading you. And you're going to be empowered by him. And you think these miracles are cool that you've seen? Wait till you see what you can do when he's within you in my name. And so what we're doing now as we're on this earth is I believe we are on that mission to get people to know about the goodness of Jesus so that they can be in relationship with what we were created for from the beginning, to be in relationship with God. And we're empowered by the Spirit to be in the world, but not of the world, hoping one day that when Jesus comes back or when we pass away, if he doesn't come back before then, we're on our way to our true home, which is heaven, which is back to that original perfect design and community with God the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. So that's overview of the story of the Bible.
So whoa. Good, Sadie.
Oh, that's good.
That was, well, that is good. Sadie hosts a podcast for our listeners out there that's called Whoa, That's Good. So if you're not familiar, Whoa, That Is Good. You know, I was just reading today in my Bible reading in Nehemiah, and there's this whole chapter that basically was that story.
Yes.
Where they had just retold the story of God and up until that point, right? And his faithfulness to his people. And I love how you talk about the Holy Spirit being our guide. Like that's what our verse is saying, that this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even to the end. Yeah. Like right now in this reality of, you know, 2023, living out our Christian lives, God is still that same God. Like what Christian was talking about, what Sadie's talking about, he's still that same God, and he is still our guide. And he not only guides us in like this sort of like sense that he would have in the Old Testament, but in such a personal, intimate way through the Spirit that is just like mind blowing.
It is. He's the God of the universe, but he's also a friend. I mean, that's crazy. That's a crazy God that you serve, that he's the God of the universe. He's your Lord and he's your Savior, but he's your Father. How personal can you get? And he's your friend. Like, that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard of. I mean, it really is. And sometimes you hear these things and you've almost heard them too many times to realize the gravity that they hold. Like, don't miss that, friend. Your God is your God and he's your Father and he's your friend. That's an amazing thing that we get to be in relationship with a God like that. And I love that you mentioned that about Nehemiah, because really almost every sermon in the Bible is that. It's recapping what God did, you know? And I always think about that, you know, if I don't know what to say in a sermon, just start talking about who God is and what he did, because that's the sermon. Just preach that, you know. We don't need new material. You really need to talk about the faithfulness, the old stuff that he's done to encourage you for what he will do in the future.
Okay, so let me ask you guys a personal question then. So we can look at the Bible and we can say, okay, God did this for Moses and God did this for Noah and God did this for Peter, whoever. But like, when you think about how God has been faithful to you, Sadie, and to you, Christian, are there things that come to your mind that's like, man, when I'm in a low place and I'm like, what is God going to do? Because I think sometimes when we get in that situation where we're like, is God going to be faithful this time around? Is God going to meet me here? This is really hard. I just got this bad diagnosis, or I just heard this terrible news or whatever. Like, for me, a lot of times it's a remembrance of God's faithfulness that brings me to a faith that he's going to be faithful again. So what would be one thing that each of you would say is a remembrance for you, or it's like, man, when things are hard, I think about this time that God, you know, he was just there for me.
Yeah, I think in a certain way, for me, I think it's just looking at this idea of maybe just like a trajectory of like, I can see things that I did before I really was in relationship with God and things that I started to do after I was in relationship with God. Like, I love just talking about Galatians 5, just because Paul lays out these acts of sinful nature and he says that they're obvious. You don't have to see how you're living. It's if you're living this way, it'll be obvious. But then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which are complete opposite of what the acts of the sinful nature are. So I think for me, it's just being so aware of, you know, naturally, we're not inclined to be righteous people without the Holy Spirit, like Sadie talked about, without God. Like, we're not bent towards righteousness. I'm not bent towards being a super patient, forgiving, loving husband.
That's
like,
real.
With God, I am. But before, I loved myself a lot. I loved to do things that were contrary to what I do now. So I just see the things he's brought me through and things that I've been set free from, and like things that I used to love, crave, and desire from a worldly standpoint are things that are like borderline appalling to me now because of what he's done in my life. So I think it's just, I can just practically see I used to love X, Y, and Z when I was living in the world, and now I can look at that and be like, thank God that I'm not consumed with that anymore. And I'm not addicted to that. You know, if we're in an argument or something, and I might from a natural perspective have this reaction, but I can feel conviction. And I think a lot of times for me, people don't like conviction, but I love feeling convicted, because that reminds me that there's something in me that's contrary to the flesh. If I say something and I feel bad about it, or if I do something and I feel this sense of conviction of it, then, you know, I know that there's two things, you know, in me at tension, and I want to obey the Spirit. I don't want to obey the flesh in it. So for me, it's just oftentimes just reminding myself of where I'd be without God, because my life was going in a downward trajectory, and where I'm at now of just feeling the conviction and feeling the sense of when I mess up that there is something in me that's calling me higher.
That's great. Yeah. Christian actually taught me to love conviction, because I used to get like, I would just get in this like shame mentality, you know, like I do something wrong and then I like, it's like just shame. And I like feel so good and I like feel so bad. And also, and Christian's like, why don't you like take that as a gift that God actually gave you conviction? And aren't you so glad you do feel that? Just that, you know, like that's actually not natural. That's not what you're supposed to do. Like, you don't want to live like that. And now just like change, just repent, just turn. And I was like, wow, that's so good. And so stop like shaming myself, because God's not shaming me. He's correcting me out of his loving kindness. So I'm like, that's so good. So that really helped me. But yeah, I mean, I love what you said about just reminding yourself of the faithfulness of God. I can think absolutely what Christian said, I agree with. And then even just like practical things, like I'm not great at journaling. I don't journal every day. But every now and then I sit down and like I just write out a bunch of stuff to God and just kind of talking about what I'm going through, what I've been seeing, what I've been feeling. And my journal is so raw. Like I'm always mm-hmm. like, if someone picks this up, they're truly going to think I'm crazy. But I always feel like I'm like, so much of my life is in front of people. It's like on Instagram, it's on a podcast, it's on a screen. And even if you're not trying to be put together, there's something in you when a camera's on you that you do put yourself a little bit more together, you know? And I am a very authentic person. I'm very, you know, people will say I'm very relatable because I'm not very polished on the screen. But even still, there's an element to that. And so when I journal, I'm like, this is my place that I'm not going to be polished at all. Like, this is going to be filled with typos. It's going to be messy. It's going to be my raw feelings. It's going to be how I really think. And but it's all to you, Lord. Like, this, I don't even have to say, dear God. It's just, this is written to you. This is written with you. He knows. And so what's really cool, though, is when I look back at the journal entries that I've done, it's so cool to see the growth that I've had. Like this one particular instance, and I mean, I could think of like so many when you talk about the individual faithfulness of God. I was even telling someone a story the other day and all the details of the story. I was like, how could I ever doubt him? Like, this is crazy. Like to the timing, to the day, to the this, to, like, it's just crazy. But one in particular, there was this birthday of mine, and I right around the birthday, like right around that week, someone that was working for me left because her husband got a new job, and it was really sad for me because she was one of my best friends, and it was hard. I mean, I was happy for her, but it was hard. And then also the extra element of like needing to hire somebody and the stress of that. Well, I also just had Honey 1 month before, and it was just a really like stressful season in my life. And I just wasn't doing well. Like, I was journaling that I was not doing well, struggling. It caused a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, some hurt, just different things in there. Well, then it was really cool because the next year, same birthday week, the girl who was hired to replace her had to leave because she had three kids and life was crazy and it was hard. And so it happened again where it was like, presenting the same situation, but my attitude towards it was completely different. Like, I did not get anxious or stressed. Like, I knew God had it because I had seen him do it the year before, you know? It was really cool because when I went to journal about it, I went back to the year before and just like read where I was at. And I was like, I am not there at all. Like, this is totally a different situation because of like what God had done in my heart. And I was more content. I was more stable. I had gained in maturity and wisdom over the year. So that was like a really cool thing for me to see God be faithful back then and how he brought me through that. And I knew he was going to be faithful again. And so, yeah, you got to tell your own history with God's stories to yourself to remind yourself of his faithfulness. I love in Joshua, whenever they were walking across the Jordan and they, you know, had their stones to remember. It's like,
yes,
sometimes you got to pick up your stone and like remember these moments or write it down, put it down, like actually like stake it in the ground. I'm going to remember this moment of what God brought me through. It's very powerful.
I love that, Sadie. That's really powerful. I do think that there's something about having a space, and I know not everybody likes to write journals, but I would challenge the people that are listening to this podcast even right now that even if you don't journal, just to write down a few words about something that you're praying for, someplace in a journal or in something, a notebook that you can keep and look back and flip back to and be like, oh, God answered that prayer. Oh, God answered that prayer. And I think it does. It alleviates our stress in the moment the next time that something like that comes around because we're like, okay. Yeah.
Yes,
I've seen God do this.
that just made me think of this. When you think about God just being, you know, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his thoughts and his ways. And I think about that verse because Christian had DM'd me on Instagram January of 2017. Well, I never saw that until 2018, the summer of whenever we met. I ended up following him, finally saw his DM. Never saw. But the cool thing is, in February of 2017, I literally had this note on my phone and I was praying to God about my future husband. And it was so cool because like the end of January, he messaged me. The beginning of February, I have it in my notes of me praying for my future husband. And I just think like, wow, like God was doing something in the spiritual realm, preparing him for me and preparing me for him at the same time, a year and a half before we even met or knew each other at all. And so, yes, it's so cool when you write it down. On the notes in my phone, it says February 2017. And on my Instagram, it says January 2017. Like I can see those two things as evidence for that God was moving in my life on the back end when I couldn't see it. So then you look and you say, God, I thought you weren't hearing me. You were just preparing me. You know, it's a really cool thing to look back on.
Isn't that funny too? Like, I feel like there are certain songs, like Christian songs, that when I hear them, I'm just like, oh, that was the song of this era of my life.
Yes.
You know, where I was just like, oh, I remember just belting that out in my room by myself or whatever. Or even just like, there are certain passages in scripture too that I read and I'm like, man, Psalm 16 is one of those places for me where it's like, I can think of iterations of my life where certain verses in that psalm, I'm like, that's my life psalm,
totally.
You know, where it's just like, man, I needed that verse. And then all of a sudden I need this other verse over here. And you know, you just, and it just has become like this song of God's faithfulness to me.
Oh, so true. Mm-hmm. I love that you said it. Yesterday, I was kind of laughing to myself and we were in the car and we always just randomly sing in the car, belt it out. And I was singing, I was like, you're never gonna let me down. And I was thinking about like a time in my life where I would like weep singing that song, like telling the Lord, like, you are never gonna let me down. I'm declaring this because I was going through it. And I was laughing yesterday singing it because I'm like, man, this is hitting different right now because I'm doing good, you know? Back then I was like, God, don't let me down. No, you won't. You're faithful.
Right, I'm claiming this as a promise.
I know. And right now I'm like, God, you just don't. Like, you're not going to let me down because it's who you are. And I'm just smiling at myself because, you know, whenever that song came out years ago, that was in a different place. So I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, songs take you back. Verses take you back. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of being in relationship with God. And I always tell people this, like, do not let your relationship with God be 10 minutes in the morning. Don't let it be a Sunday morning church service. Don't let it be the end of the night prayer. Like, it's a 24/7 thing. Because that's like I get to laugh with God yesterday going, I used to sing that song to you. And I was like really mad at you. And now like I've seen the song and I'm like, you're so faithful. Because my relationship wasn't defined by pockets of time. It was defined by seasons of life at 24/7. And so when you do relationship with God, it's just like me and Christian, like, remember that time whenever you did that or whatever? It's like we're in relationship just like me and God are in relationship.
Mm-hmm. You and God have your inside joke about that song. Yeah,
yeah, we do. It's pretty funny. I'm like, yeah, they'll talk about it. Yeah.
I love it. Okay, well, we got time for one more thing. So I think this is kind of a hard question, but I think it's worth asking. What would you say to the person who's listening to all this and is like, yeah, Sadie, yeah, Christian, yeah, Natalie, you guys are like professional Christians. You guys always got it together, you know, whatever, that kind of idea. But like, here I am over here and I'm really struggling. Like, I have walked away from the Lord and I know better, but you know, it's all I can do to even listen to this podcast right now. So what would you say to somebody who's really struggling, who's like, I've been faithless, but I want that. Like, I want that joy that you're talking about, Sadie. You know, I want to feel that love, that the love of God, but I'm just not feeling it right now. What's the first step to kind of get him back on track?
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, first of all, it's just say, you know, I think a lot of times in today's day and age, our culture will tell you that your feelings define your truth, but that is the biggest bunch of baloney. Don't believe that. Your feelings are not your truth. Your feelings can be so shaped by emotion, by seasons, by changes. Your feelings go up and down. But this is the amazing thing about the Word of God is that it says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's steadiness about who God is. And not only that, like Jesus said, I said this earlier, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. So first of all, I would say, don't identify with what you feel. You know, identify with the truth of who God says you are and who He is. That'll change everything about your life today. Don't declare over your life that I am anxiety, I am depression, I am alone, I am whatever it is, that I am sinful, I am fallen, whatever it is. It's like, no, I am a child of God. which automatically means I am loved, which automatically means I am forgiven the second I ask for forgiveness, which automatically means I'm in a family, so I'm not alone. The Lord says, I'll never leave you off or never forsake you. Right here in this moment, I have a Father who loves me and who's for me. So once you get to the truth of knowing that you're His, then you get to the truths of knowing who you are. And so first of all, I would just start there by knowing who you are and knowing the truth about that, despite how you feel right now. Secondly, I would say, here's the beautiful thing about the gospel. I said earlier, we're all sinful. It says, remember, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there's no one deserving of the love of a holy Father. There's no one deserving to be in relationship with God. Only by the blood of Jesus can any of us stand before God. All of us have been broken. All of us have been lost. So that looks different in some people's life than others. My grandparents just had a movie come out about their life called The Blind. And my grandpa was a wild man. I mean, you talk about living a sinful life. It was really, really, really bad. For 10 years, alcoholic, abusive, cheating on his wife, adultery, I mean, not there for the kids, left them, violence, anger, everything. But yet that man has now touched millions for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's radically transformed our family's life. My parents probably wouldn't be married if he never found Jesus. I wouldn't even be here if that man never found Jesus. So I say that to say, like, you're never too far gone. You've never done anything that is too big for the cross to handle. You've never done anything that is going to make God run away from you. He ran all the way to you because he so loved you that he already gave a son. It's already finished. He already died on the cross. He already rose again. And so nothing that you're doing is coming by surprise to God. Don't keep doing it though. You know, it says, therefore, should we keep on sinning knowing that grace can increase? No, don't keep sinning. Turn right now. Repent. Go to God and start living right with that Holy Spirit as your guide and as your power. So yeah, man, if you're struggling right now, you're in perfect condition for the blood of Jesus to cover you. If you are lost, you're in a perfect place to be found. And that's the beauty of the gospel.
That's awesome. Thanks, Sadie. Christian, yeah. You got anything to add for that?
No, I really don't have anything to add on top of that. That was perfect. And even just thinking about someone listening to this, and you know, the way that you asked the last question, if someone is listening to this and thinks that we're perfect Christians, I don't want to be like, oh, go get our Diva book, but I will say, go get our Diva book. I'm not that person. But it is like, because that's why we wrote the book. It's we are not perfect by any means. I mean, the amount of times I chat myself in this book is probably every single day that I have an entry of just me exposing myself, because it's real and relatable. I mean, I talk about road rage and me driving down the interstate or highway and someone pulls out in front of me and I'll throw my hands up in anger and I'll be like, I'll have a thought and then I'll pull up next to him and it's like an old elderly woman.
You're like,
going back to the conviction, and I'll feel awful. And I'll be like, man, I want to be more patient. Because that's a human. I don't want to just fly off the handle like that. Or I'll talk about just all different kind of things like that, because we all have our things we struggle with. And like Sadie said, that does not define us. I am not anger. I am not patient. I am not whatever. I am a son of God, and I do struggle with these things that can play out in life. And for me, I've just seen if I put God first, then all those things will fall into place. So if you are listening to this and you're like, oh, please don't think we have it all figured out, because we don't. And in this devotional book and in this challenge, we put on full display how imperfect we actually are. And we are only made righteous by Jesus.
And we're not doing this because we have to. We're doing this because God has radically transformed our life, and we can't stop talking about it. You know, the beautiful thing about our relationship with God, and this is what happens when you're relationship with God, is you get saved, and then He says, go tell others. And it's like, not even, you didn't even probably have to say that. You just will, because you can't help
it. Because
you're like, I want you to experience this. You don't understand. If you're lost, if you're lonely, if you're afraid, if you're like, let me tell you about a God who says, I'm there for you. Let me tell you about a God who says, I'll redeem you. Let me tell you about a God who says, you have hope in a future. Like, why would I not tell you that? That's the best news I could ever tell you, you know? And so it's just this natural thing within us to go, oh my gosh, this radically saved me and transformed me. I got to go tell everybody this good news.
Mm. Yeah. And I think I do appreciate that about your book, how honest you guys are. Because I think that otherwise the gospel falls flat, doesn't it? If we don't need it, then what is it for? If we aren't mm-hmm. sinners who are saved by grace, if we don't need constant forgiveness, not just like way back when we believed in Jesus, but right now and every day,
yep.
like we're the only thing that makes Christians different than other sinners is that we're forgiven sinners.
Yeah.
You yep. know, like that's the difference. And if you're feeling that way, if you're feeling like, hey, that's me, I need that forgiveness, you do. And it is. It's like what Sadie said. It's the thing. It's the thing that is going to propel you to want to tell everybody.
Well, you look around at a world looking for all these things, and it's like, how terrible would I be if I just like watch them searching and everyone's like, I'm lonely, I'm depressed, I'm this, I'm that. And you're just like, oh, I'm sorry. It's like, yeah. no, actually, let me tell you about a God who the fruit of who he is love, joy, and peace. We can stop there. We could keep going because there's a lot more to the fruit who he is. But aren't we all looking for love? Aren't we all looking for joy? Aren't we all looking for peace? Isn't that what we all are craving and desiring and searching for in these temporary things? Let me tell you how to find the actual person that's found in that mm-hmm. has already invited you into relationship with him. So it's like, why would I not tell you that? Why would I not? Why would I not be excited to give you that information?
Well, that excitement is so contagious, you guys. And I really appreciate that about both of y'all and about your ministry. And I love your book. And so for those of you who are listening at home or in your car, wherever you are, if you go to our website and find the links for the show, you'll be able to get that book and anything else related to Sadie and Christian and to hear them talk more. Follow Whoa, That's Good, their podcast, and all the things. So anyway, you can follow them along later, but thank you guys so much for joining with me today. Thank you for taking the time to think about this verse and to talk about it with us and just the meaning of God's faithfulness over time in our lives and how we can be faithful back to him. So I appreciate y'all.
Thank you so much. We love what you're doing and love getting an opportunity to talk. It was awesome.
Hey, I know you know that we love memorizing Bible verses over here at Dwell, and all month long we are talking about a Bible verse, but did you know that we have a membership where you actually get a kit in the mail that comes with temporary tattoos, a key tag, and a print that has this month's design on it, and it's always just the most beautiful design. But those temporary tattoos and that key tag and that print, those are visual reminders all throughout the month to help you remember and dwell on this month's verse. So go to dwelldifferently.com and check out our membership.